Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Big Campaign Stories. This is Jeff, your GM and humble narrator, and we have another special day off party episode for you. But before we get to the game, let's get them lightsaber checks. Psycho.
Hi, everybody. I am Psycho. I am the designated dungeon master for Clash of Crits, and I'm so pumped to get a day off. This has been nice. I needed it. So let's see this lightsaber check. That's good. I got a 3.
Alrighty. Yeah. No death elixir shot.
Damn. I have it right here, ready to go.
Then to give the listeners a little bit of a recap, at the end of your last session, you'd help the party escape with the items needed from your father's small museum collection, and you had won a ticket onto the Dreadnought, as well as some time on the Zell Annulus to meet with the gods. You are allowed to bring a +1, so I guess we'll pick up from there.
Hell yeah. Okay, so we got the guys out, and am I still at my estate?
Would you have gone back to the estate, or would you have taken the spotlight at one of the hotels?
I feel like after what I just did, I probably would have left I would have left if, you know, at least snuck out if need be, if I can, just because I know a bunch of shit's about to blow back on my family and I don't want to be there for it.
Alrighty, where would you have snuck off to?
Probably would have stuck back out into Dustmantor, because I know that's like where my crew's going to be at, and that's where like I've been doing all the things with like Matilda and Bold Requisition and all that. So I probably would have tried sneaking back off to Dust Banter and just being like, yeah, but it was fun, Dad. You know, bye, whatever. Sorry that, you know, those guys got out of, you know, things got out of hand, but it is what it is.
Cool. So you're back in Dust Banter at the condo. The tickets have been sent to you already via the constant. Okay, so cool. You got your on your HCOM. You've got those ready to go. You do have a voicemail from your father whenever you're ready to listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well rip the band-aid off. I'd probably listen to it.
Okay. You connect into it, check your voicemail. There's that long pause for a moment before you hear Vancillian's voice come through.
I don't know what happened to you. Defending your brother's killer. Payments to Corleone crime families. I've lost so many children so far, and this hurts me more than you can understand, but we are done. If you ever return, you are no longer welcome in this home. You're no longer welcome in this family, and you're no longer a member. Goodbye, Desmond.
Yeah. I would be confused at the Corleone crime family part. I'd be like, what the hell are they talking about? Because I assume I haven't talked to like my team yet. But I think Desmond would feel a little sad. You know, I took advantage of some things, but you know, it's happened. And I think Desmond always wanted to like away from the Crow name, even though he was using it as a crutch. So now this is just kind of like the kick in the butt that like he has no choice now. So it sucks, but I think it is probably what's best for like Desmond as a person as well.
After your father's voicemail, you'd have another one from Golmix.
Uh-huh.
Saying,
hey, don't tell your father, but I'll have what I can sent to your new residence if you want to send me the address when you can. Bye, Desmond.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would send the info because, like, if my father really wanted to know where I'm at, he has plenty of resources to find out, so it's not like what I'm doing is hiding anyways. So I would send Golmex the info.
Cool.
And I would just tell her, like, thank you.
Yeah, you'd see what? It goes to red, but no response.
Right. Yeah, I think that's going to be like, huh, all right, you know, just brush it off. You didn't want to be part of your family anyways, you know, it's fine. As like he would look in the mirror and then like stare for a second and be like, it's fine, and just nod his head.
But yeah, it is a fairly nice midsummer's day here in Duskmantor. You got that smell of warm concrete. You can hear the people down below from your condo as they're going about their shopping days. You hear the honks and horns of the city.
Okay.
Overall, it's a nice day for sad news.
Yeah. Like we're in this condo, I assume we have like an outside balcony part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would step outside in the balcony, just kind of like taking the city for a moment, and then I would actually start looking at this like these tickets to see like what it entails.
Yeah, it looks like it's for a day trip on the Dreadnought, one of the more famous artifacts made by the founder of the Basia Wizarding School Colleges. It includes a 3-hour session where you will go to the Zell Annulus, the moon where various gods do hang out. The tickets are done up in a very fancy, I think like that 1930s style, kind of like lots of art deco lines and kind of gold and black to it.
That's cool.
part of the brag that comes along with the email is that the Big Ten are supposed to be there. Now, of course, you'd assume that you're not supposed to interact with them, really, but it's a way for them to say that basically the richest people in the world are all going to be on this dreadnought ride as well.
Is my father counted as one of those people?
He is not. That's okay. Part of the sad spot of you winning that ticket was, you can imagine this was his chance to try to introduce.
Yeah, and he just kicked me out the family. So, well, you know, Desmond's a little sad, but he's just like, you know what? This is going to be a last hurrah for me. Sure, screw it. Why not? And do I see that, like, I have, like, a plus one?
You do, yeah.
I'm like, how do I want to go out? How do I want to really show myself to these guys how to party? Who do I want to bring? Who do I want to impress? Then Desmond thinks to himself for, like, a good, like, 15 seconds. And then he's just like, of course. And Desmond is going to call Matilda.
Yeah, the phone will ring twice before you'll hear Matilda's voice on the other end of, hey, what's up, Des?
Hey, Matilda. How's it going?
Pretty good. It's been an eventful week.
Yeah. Are you busy?
Yeah, she'll pause and you'll hear her assistant, Laura, in the back. No, you're not. And she'll be like, yeah, maybe. What's up?
Well, you know, I was just at my father's estate and they had a bit of a raffle thing. And I scored 2 tickets to the Dreadnought. And I was thinking, you want to be my plus one?
There'll be a silence there for a bit. Is she the Dreadnought? Wow. I mean, how formal is this? Are we wearing armor? Or is this just like a casual day with some of the richest people on the plane?
I mean, it's set up like a party. It's set up like a party event. So, I mean, I will probably be in my armor because that's how I rock my style. You know, whether I'm casual or formal, this is kind of how I live. But I'd say you can come however you'd like.
Okay. You know what? Yeah. Right now, my family doesn't need me. Things are going well. Yeah, this sounds like a great time. I'll have Lauren pick something out for me, and I'll meet you at the airport.
Perfect. I guess I will see you then. I'll send you the ticket for the details.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, send him over.
So Desmond would, like, hang up and then take a large, like, exhale. Like, oh, God. Oh, man. Okay. All right. That worked. Thank goodness. All right. And then he would, like, look at himself in, like, the glass of, like, the condo balcony. He's and, like, slap himself in the face. He's like, okay, man, you got this. Finally, it is you and her. You're taking her on a date with, like, the gods. Like, how else can, like, what else can you do, right? Like, what else can you do? All right, look at me. You got this. Though, you should probably clean yourself up because you haven't showered out this armor in, like, 3 days. And he's going to quickly try to clean himself up.
All right. As you pass in front of your void glass screen television, go ahead and give me a perception check.
A perception? I don't have that. I have a 1. Let's see. I rolled a 6.
Okay, not a worry. You shower, you get cleaned up. There are mods you can get if you're looking to kind of make your armor look like something else. It'll still feel like armor if somebody touches you. But you can get, like, basically like illusionary nanite coating if you want to try to make it look like a cool outfit or something like that.
Okay, I think if I was going to, Desmond would mod it out for me to be in, like, business wear, but instead of I don't have a coat jacket. I just have, like, I will have a black dress shirt on, and then it will be with a, like, a crimson vest with a with, like, a crimson tie, and then I'll have a black dress slacks with some black leather boots that have these, like, that have, like, some red in line of the stitching into it.
Okay. All right, sick.
And he'd probably have on some, like, try hard fingerless gloves as well.
All right. For some reason, my brain's going to a mix of, like, Alistair from Supernatural and Devil May Cry.
Yeah, I, for sure. I feel like that's a good mix.
Then, yeah, the pickup for the location is going to be at Dustblade Tower, the newly formed and biggest building in the city that sits next to the Amon Advancement Ziggurat.
Okay, cool. I guess when I get there, I would start, like, hitting Matilda up, being like, I'm here, where are you at?
As you're taking, like, the elevator up to the top of this building, passing by, like, the fancy restaurants, getting to where the port where the ship will come to connect. Yeah, Matilda would be up there already. She'd be wearing a fairly loose-fitting dress that has, like, kind of a metallic green stripe going down the side, but most of it is black. Though when the light hits it just right, you see just, like, a hint of red in the folds. Mm. But pairs up, and she'll be surprised to see you out of your armor for a moment before when she comes in for like a hug, she can hear that, feel that clang, right? The she's like, oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, I'd hug her back, and then I would tell her, I'm like, you look beautiful.
Yeah, she'd give you that sly look, like you're trying, but too early. Like we're wait for the boat.
Then I would then say like, well, I'm glad you made it. So, I know you said that your family doesn't need you at the moment, but everything else has been good.
Yeah. The one thing you notice about her, she doesn't have her scarf anymore.
Oh, okay. And she's always had that every single thing in her, I presume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would probably ask, like, what happened to your scarf?
Well, it looks like Farther is done. I guess all fears expire once they do enough good deeds or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, go figure, right?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you didn't need it.
Yeah, it's summertime anyways.
Well, since we're here, you ready to party with some gods?
Hell yeah. Yeah, she'll put her arm in yours as you guys get in line. Looking around a bit, you'll have that moment where, as you're waiting with other rich people to get on the boat, all of a sudden the room kind of goes quiet as a bunch of ADP come in. That heavy cyberpunk aesthetic tactical armor with the black and red accents to it. They all have the neon halos above their head that works as kind of a protective deflection for them. Before you'd see Typh Raylan strut in, wearing a black suit with a dark red and blue trim, his dark hair and beard cleaned up nice, pale skin, and he's got his sunglasses on, and so he'll walk by smiling at people. Behind him, coming from here as well, Alder Hammett, which is a local investor, but has made a lot of money. Kind of human, shorter, has some glasses, curly but thinning hair, wearing almost kind of like a cleric outfit. Like he's a lawyer priest kind of thing.
Okay.
But they'll cut to the front of the line, of course, and as you all get onto the ship, you'll have to submit to some divination tests before you enter the boat. Mm-hmm. Basically, them just trying to do like quick detect thoughts, foresight spells, kind of just seeing if there's anything you're planning, anything bad.
I feel like Desmond will get a little embarrassed that like when they start doing that, like literally all he's thinking about is like, don't mess it up with Matilda, don't mess it up with Matilda, don't mess it up with Matilda.
Yeah, you probably get the the divination mage that runs this has that like kind of like head shake, like keep going, you're good. I can confirm this guy is not a terrorist. But you'll have that pause for a bit as when they go over to do Matilda, it just comes back blank, right? Null. Like they can't seem to hit anything. And there's a brief pause there as they kind of talk back and forth, but she submits to a pat down and they're like, unless she's a magic user, they don't think she has anything. Definitely those mages will have that awkward moment of like, I don't understand why we couldn't see anything.
Interesting.
You will get onto the ship.
I guess when like Matilda gets to me after she gets processed, I'd be like, what was that about?
She'd say it's a long story, but magic and I don't get along too well.
I get it. I'm not that magical either. Well, I mean, I guess that's not true.
Entering onto the Dreadnought, this is opulence. Every person here has a dedicated shadow, which is a servant, kind of green and gold trimmed uniform that follows to get whatever they need. Each servant has their own dedicated sliver code. Yours is Obek Mara, a void, that basically just follows directly behind you and Matilda. If you want to drink anything, you send them a message, they go get it.
Okay, cool. Is this boat like how it is on the map? Like it looks like there's like this like big pool right here?
Yeah, so this is like the back end. Maybe this would be like the last fourth of the ship.
Okay.
I mean, there's dance floors, there's drinking lounges, people schmoozing, making deals. There's a little bit of everything happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Especially towards the back end here, you can kind of see the massive kind of plume of smoke that comes out of the back from the engines.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of crackles and burns in a very weird, non-normal way.
Quickly remind me again, the, like, because, like, with, like, the scarf and things like that that Matilda had, I don't know if it's something that, I don't know if praise is the right word, but, like, the god that she, like, followed through with, what is their name again?
The god she used to be a cleric of? Azdan.
Azdan. Would we know if Azdan would be on the ship?
Azdan? No. Azdan might be on the moon when you go to the god section, but he wouldn't be on the ship. Yeah, okay, Azdan
is... That's what I meant, on the moon. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Azdan is one of those higher-tier gods that doesn't really require belief necessarily as much.
Right.
Whispers and rumors are that Azdan still likes people, even though he is a god of extinction.
Okay, cool.
Moving about here, music going, drinks kind of, you know, the small army of shadows moving about the party, making sure everybody has drinks and things.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see a sectioned off area where the Big Ten are going to meet up. You'd see guards post outside of it. Corlean Marines from Avurn, ADP from Dustbanter, Dara Enforcers from God's Face. Looks like a group you don't quite recognize. You'd overhear somebody else talk about that they are the King's Eye from Scorn, as well as Astral Knights from Umbaro and Archons from Core Junction.
I think I would like whisper to Matilda and be like, how badly do you think these guys would want that info that we got a while back?
The stuff from that place?
Yeah, you know, the stuff from that place.
She'd ponder it, and I bet you could probably get a fair amount. Or I bet some would like it here, though. With all that happened with the Justicari, I'm not sure. But this is a good client list.
No, yeah, I'm not like, let's sell it right here or anything like that. I think that that was just something to, you know, keep in mind if need be. I think it might be something useful. Anyways, I mean, we're here to have fun, right? Like, we're on a ship with the less than 1%ers, you know what I mean?
She'll give you that look of, yeah, like, I like where you're thinking.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard much about what happened with your brother, but my stay at the Crow Estate is not really a thing anymore. I don't know if I can even call myself a crow all that much. So I guess I'm just, like, in the, you know, in the business of looking at different avenues for everything, you know, with, like, our gang and what we're doing, so.
Okay. You said you lost your name?
Yeah, well, you know, my dad isn't really fond of your brother, given the things that happened between them. Like, my late brother, anyways.
Oh.
Yeah, and I kind of tricked my dad into getting him out, so he wasn't too happy about that. And then, apparently I bought off something from some Corlean gang. I'm not 100% sure on those details, but my name's attached to it.
Yeah, she'll chuckle, and you should probably keep better track of your buddy, Dez.
Yeah, I got a feeling that, you know, I let the guys have my card for if I'm not there, they can, like, pay for something, and I got a feeling that they got their thing, and they just didn't tell me about it yet, so I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to them.
Right now, we're doing well. We have enough residuals coming in from that info and from Bolt Construction. We can get you guys set up with something.
While we're here, I say we take advantage of it.
Yeah, she'll, you know what? That'd be fun. She's going to send your guys' shadow to go get a drink. She gets back, like, a gin and tonic.
I think I would try to be, like, classy and just order, like, an old-fashioned.
Right on. Yeah. So as you guys move about, you guys will overhear, of course, you know, rich people talking. You can see the line for the door to get to the Zellanulus is just long as hell. It's going, you know, halfway down the one side of the boat.
And the Zellanulus, remind Zellanulus, is where
is the god moon.
Okay.
So, like, people seem to go in, and then they seem to step out, like, a minute later. But when they come out, like, you know, hairs tussled, they're like, whoa, they look like they went through stuff.
Interesting. Huh. Well, I think I would look at that and be like, I wonder. Is there, like, somebody, like, guarding, like, the front of, like, who gets to go in?
Yeah. There's one, like, of the Core Junction Archons that is standing at the front that kind of checks people over before letting them in.
Do I want to start routing now? I wonder if, since there's so many people waiting in line, I wonder if I can try to pull them out of the line by trying to entice them here. How, like, is this party right now very, like, formal setting? Like, nothing's, like, really, like, I'm sure, like, there's, like, some dancing, but, like, there's nothing, like, rowdy going on at the moment?
Not yet. You guys are about to take off here. They're just waiting for the last few people to, last of the Big Ten to show up.
Okay. Is there, like, a microphone DJ area?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to keep an eye on that for when we do take off, because then we'll be a lot more isolated and the game can't kick us off immediately. So I think I am going to take Matilda towards that area and just have, like, casual conversation and maybe, like, hear, try to get an ear for, like, what people are talking about while they're waiting in line.
I mean, people talk in line, they're like, you know, I wonder what gods are there. You'll see a small group of people being like, oh, Estelle would have loved this. It's a shame she couldn't make it. They'll kind of cheers and share a drink for her. You'll see, what, a few of the other ones that are, a few of the other Big Ten that show up. Jalari Vast, Corlean, tan skin, copper hair. Dude looks like he just stepped off a yacht. Elmod Hashnerfell, he's the Lord of Core Junction. Dark skin, dark beard, short hair. Eyes are completely gold, with kind of a long striped robe and a fez.
Nick.
There is Nix, the head of balanced engineering. Kind of a first-generation android look, so kind of like a silver marionette, but has a cowboy hat. And as they kind of move, they just kind of give off like this hum of latent energy. You would see Barmidius Sky. He's the guy who got your father the tickets originally. A Corlian from Avia, a stockbroker, a heavyset kind of Corlian. So pushing that, still like 6'3", 6'4". All the skin, rings, necklaces. Right. But when he sees you, he'll give you kind of a disappointed look.
Yeah, I think I would, when he gives me that look, I think I would still like wave like my glass to him as in like a thank you. And just kind of like ignore that he's giving me the disappointed look and be like, I'm here. Like, this is, I'm going to experience this.
Okay. Yeah. No, he, you'd see that disapproval as he marches towards the sectioned off area. Matilda would look back at you and look at him and fuck that guy.
Yeah. You know, he's just upset. He was expecting my father to be here, but I'm here instead. So.
The last couple that do show up, Chorus Kaza, an Ilikin banker. Very long tendrils. They have a black dress with a white turtleneck with kind of lightning bolt patterns that go down from neck all the way to ankle. Bag the Sunspot, a small halfling woman, older, blonde, white hair, like that blonde white hair kind of silver look. But they kind of show up in like sensible jeans and kind of a long jacket with blue and greens with a bunch of silver bells in their hair. And then the last two, Solaris Mithrain. He runs the Mercadine Dynamics, a company that focuses on kind of like psionic work. Even though he's an older balding dude, large scar across their nose, they're wearing a psychoactive skin suit that seems to shift and change colors and shapes as they walk.
Oh, that's cool.
And the last one is Alarami, a void that still has access to the Scorn Moon. They actually come in wearing kind of a black military outfit with kind of light armor worked into it, with a white scarf with two red stripes. And they're kind of wearing like one of those DBZ scouters kind of on one side of their face.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they'll head to their sectioned off area. Once they get in place, the ship will start moving. Like I say, if you stand too far back and you see that engine where that kind of like red tinged kind of lightning black smoke is coming out, occasionally you swear you can hear like a scream or something come from it. Though that's only if you focus on it, right? Once the ship starts moving, the music turns up, the DJ starts going, and people start chatting. They only do a few people at a time for the Scorn Moon before they'll take a break and tell everyone to like scatter. And then they're going to reform the line here in like a few hours.
Okay, so the line's dispersed at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So like the line basically kind of resets every few hours as people kind of come back from partying and try to get back in the spot. Now, a couple people will probably stay, and a few people are actually using their shadows to make them hold their spot in line.
Mm-hmm.
But it means those people are having to actively go get drinks and things like that.
I wonder if I can try to stall this as much as possible for people who have to stay around here and then get distracted. All right, so we've taken off, and now the party has started, right?
Yep. Party is in full swing. Matilda's looking around at the pool, the dance floor. Kind of, you have your shadow standing behind you guys, ready for anything.
Okay, and do these shadows just kind of listen to whatever we want, or do they like, oh, you know, I'm here to get you your drinks, get you your things, but like, do they have limitations of what their orders are?
Doesn't seem to be. I mean, if you ask him directly, Obek would, I effectively cannot hear anything said to me while I'm here, except through the sliver. So I can't listen in on your conversation. I can't overhear others. I just hear you guys or my supervisor.
Okay.
But cool. I can get any food, any drink. There's scon safes down below, so we can usually get contact with anywhere, and we have teleportation pads on the third deck. So, you know, if you're really missing something, or if you forget something at home that's really important, we can get you back.
Okay, cool. All right, then I would look to Matilda and be like, all right, you know what? I have a couple ideas, but I want to make sure that you're having fun. What is it that you want to do here? How do you want to show yourself? How do you want to party?
She definitely has a look upon her face of, I've never really thought about that before. Like kind of that, like that first moment of, I don't normally ever get to party. Like I'm always doing stuff. It's always business. So yeah, she'll throw down and be like, you know what? Dancing sounds like fun. Do you know how to dance?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, Desmond would say he can, whether he actually can or not. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll, I'm not great, but I did take some classes in the Sulane district with the, some of the performance art monasteries. So, you know, hopefully not horrible.
Yeah, you know, let's see what you're about. And if anything, I will follow your lead to keep you more comfortable.
So yeah, you guys will pass, what, the DJ booth as they are floating towards the front of the dance floor. Mm-hmm. You can see a set of halflings that are all kind of trading off on kind of breakdancing moves. some lizard folk in a kind of more a, think about more like a classical mosh pit kind of feel. As they're dancing around each other in kind of an aggressive fashion.
Okay.
But they're definitely, you know, the, what, the Corlean kind of military feel of people that are all know how to move in sync. So you're getting a lot of that kind of ballroom feel from them. But yeah, Matilda will slide out onto the dance floor. All right, let's see what you got, Desmond.
Okay. Am I rolling something for this?
You can roll a performance check. If you'd like to go fancy, like if you're going to try to go big, you can take 10 on this, which means, you know, you're just kind of going with the standard, not the Carlton, but, you know, you're sticking to safe moves that, you know, match the music.
Okay, so my performance 4. So if I took a 10, it'd be 14, correct?
Yeah.
Desmond doesn't like to play it safe. He never has. So I think I'm going to roll for it.
Alrighty.
All right, here we go. I rolled in.
Yeah, with a 9.
It's the armor. I swear it's the armor. You know,
it's probably that. That's probably exactly what's throwing you off is, even though you look like you're wearing a nice suit, your movements are that of, like, a dude wearing armor.
Right.
You got that clunky kind of jank to you is, she will attempt her own perform dance. With an 18, she definitely seems to be comfortable on the dance floor. Nothing over the top fancy. You guys aren't like pulling eyes from anywhere, but you're both having fun.
Does she like legitimately look, seem like she's having fun? Like she's like at least smiling or laughing?
He definitely is. Yeah, it's okay. A nice sunny day. You guys by now are starting to cruise over the warehouse district, going to the Seleni district. So you can look down, you can see the clay roofs of the Seleni district, the white houses. You can see the large bay and all the ships coming in and out. It's a beautiful view, nice day. And it's hard not to kind of have fun when everybody else is kind of laughing and going with it. In fact, even from here, looking down, you can see just a faint outline in the bay, the Seleni Bay. You can see what looks like a castle walls, maybe like the roofs of buildings deep in the water. Only because you're so high up, you can see it. But yeah, Matilda will, what, as she tries to dip you, you guys both kind of like stumble a bit. With that 9, and she kind of laughs and forgets that you're wearing armor. Like, it's not so easy to do those moves.
Right. Okay, so with, like, the parties going on, and there's a bunch of things going on, there's, like, even, like, dancing, but, like, it's still upbeat and fun, but it hasn't gotten crazy yet, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and is the line still not formed yet for the,
Yeah, it looks like you got about an hour left before that line starts to form again.
Okay. Alright, I think I, like, look Matilda for a second. I tell her, like, give me one moment, and then I tell our shadow to go get us more drinks, and
right away, sir.
I want to walk off quickly to try to get to talk to the DJ real quick.
Okay. All right. Yeah, approaching the DJ, the Lykel, at first you think it's one large wide brimmed hat, but they actually have like 8 trucker hats all in a spiral.
okay, cool. Once I would approach the DJ, I would kind of like I would seem kind of like looking left and right, trying to act like real fidgety about something, and try to see if I can like whisper to him.
Yeah, as you approach, DJ Button Mash will kind of lower the sunglasses and shit, Desmond Crow,
Button Mash,
lean down. What is up, my man?
Yo, Button Mash, what's going on? And I would, like, give him a handshake, dap him up, whatever.
He gives you some knucks back and kind of, oh, man, luckiest gig of my life. The other DJ called out last second. I just got this.
No kidding. Lucky for you, man. That's awesome. I'm glad you're here. Specifically because, like, you know, I was hearing some things, and I was kind of hearing that, like, the gods want this one to be one to remember. And I was coming towards the DJ to let them know that, like, this is going good, but, like, shit's got to go down. Shit's got to get rowdy, I think, real quick. Or, you know, I don't know if we want to piss these gods off. I heard Asdan might be around, you know how he is. But I know that, like, I'm sure that, like, Julian Crow and, you know, me, as, like, I start, like, pointing to myself, is probably expecting something big. So we got to do something for them, man. We got to get this chaotic.
I don't know, man. I don't want to mess up my big chance here. I was just going to stick to my playlist, and, you know, he looks down at a bunch of kind of pre-made tracks.
What kind of DJ makes it big by just sticking to a playlist and keeping it safe?
I hear DJ Humble is doing pretty well.
His name's DJ Humble. Come on. All right. I was trying to scare him.
Yeah, if you're trying to scare him, if you're going What, it's the carrot and stick, right? What's the stick?
That's the stick is that if he messes this up, he's never going to DJ again. So he has to go big.
Okay. Okay, I get it. All right, go. Cool. Go and give me that intimidate.
Okay, let's see. 24.
24. All right. We're going to give DJ Button Mash kind of a will save. He gets a 24, and as he kind of locks eyes with you, he's like, man, I might regret this, but I kind of think you're right.
Like, hey, like Julian Crowe always says, you never know unless you try. As I'm reading literally what Beliefs of Julian Crowe says, you'll never know unless you try. What's the worst that could happen? Just remember, people don't care as much as you think they do. Nothing is as important as people want you to think. Have fun.
Yeah. DJBM will go, you're right. All right. Give me, I'm going to go two more tracks, and then I'm gonna start mixing it up. Go for a real banger here, okay?
Awesome.
I guess what? All right, man. Well, I mean, it was good to see you, right?
Yeah. It's great to see you, man.
And he starts adjusting his hats, so it's more, as opposed to all the way around, there's like two facing forward and six facing back. Because he's kind of using his hats like in a nervous tick for like a countdown to himself.
I think Desmond would skirt back on to Hilda, and I assume our Shadow would have our drinks by then. And yep. I would like nudge her and be like, watch this. I know the DJ, so I got him to get this party really started.
Yeah, she'll hit you an elbow in the side and but look at you with them fancy connections. All right, let's see what he does. But as you walk back, go and give me a sense motive.
That is an 11. I am not rolling well right now.
Oddly enough, like a shadow will bump into you and apologize real quick as they move towards the cordoned off area. Mm-hmm. When you get back to Matilda, she is holding both your drinks. You can see that the shadow is standing right behind her, just looking straight ahead as they are practiced to do. You can see Matilda's attention is focused as you return on what looks like a couple of people talking about that the lawyers in Golden City also double over as duelists. So at any point if the court is not going well, you can try to redirect, but if arguments are lost, then it can get into a trade of gunfire.
And it is the lawyer that always does the dueling, or can someone duel themselves, just out of curiosity?
No, people can represent themselves, but you'd be going up against a trained golden lawyer.
Right. I guess we hear that, and then I'm like, I look to Matilda in a joking manner, like, got any duels that you want to set up?
Ooh, not yet. I mean, normally we handle that with a wine basket.
Yeah, I feel like the wine basket nowadays, people are just kind of ignoring.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It feels like those old traditions are getting lost in the fact of every business is a house. Like, I feel like the wine basket business must be booming, but there's nobody.
Yeah, everyone's just kind of doing everything.
I don't think it's working quite as well as, well, Mr. Raylan hoped it would. You'll hear a bit of commotion towards the front of the ship while you guys are talking. A lot of people don't really look over that way. Mm-hmm. You basically catch the kind of tail end of a guy screaming, holding his hands up in the air for a moment before the two Archons that you saw kind of near the section for the Big Ten would appear quickly in the air around them, casting a series of force walls that capture the person within inside of it. There would be a muffled explosion inside the force walls before you'd see an opening inside the force wall that just seems to go into the astral plane, which cleans out the inside before the spells are released.
I think Desmond would look at that and then like be a little starstruck for a moment, but then look like it'd be like sick.
Yeah, with a nervous chuckle, like the rich people around you go back to talking and, oh, what the hell was that? They're like, oh, I don't know. Let's get another round. But with that, you would hear DJ Button Mash, the music start to get faster.
Is there a way, okay, I was going to say, is there a way I can also assist this to try to get like the party going?
Yeah. For this, it would be a couple things. You could do a diplomacy if you're going to try to talk people out to the floors. You could do a perform check if you're going to try to like be that example. But yeah, however, whatever skill you think you want to use to try to inspire people to get in on the party.
Do I have a feeling that I'd get in trouble if I summoned my bike here and did like a burnout?
What? You probably feel like your dad would be really disappointed in that, but you also know like you're kind of with a bunch of rich people.
Like crazy shit like that can happen and then be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, as long as technically nobody gets hurt.
Right.
Then you'd be fine.
Okay, so I think I want to be like, look to Matilda and be like, just trust me.
All right, let's see where this goes.
So what I want to do is that when I grab her hand, I want to immediately like summon my bike and like sling both of us on it, and I'm going to just like spin out in the middle of like the dance floor to just kind of like get everybody like surprised, to get everybody hyped to start dancing.
All right. Yeah, Buttonmash comes in with a 28 on their perform DJ. Music is blasting out. People are starting to get into it. It sounds like for this, go ahead and give me your ride check.
Okay. 17. I've had like a spell. Give me a second. I don't remember what it's called. While this spell is active, you may reroll one attack, combat maneuver, or skill check before the result of the roll or check is known. You must take the result of the reroll, even if it's worse than the original one. Once a reroll is used, the spell ends. You can have no more than one fallback strategy active at the same time.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you would have been able to cast fallback strategy while you were walking back.
All right, let's see. Let's see if I can get better than a 17. With a 20, unnatural.
Okay. So 20 unnatural, yeah, you're able to hop on your bike as a free action, basically, and start going here. 20 is definitely enough to give a bonus to DJ Button Mash to bump that 28 to a 30.
Sweet. Yeah, like I put like Matilda on, like I was getting like me and Matilda both spinning out in the middle of the dance floor.
And a 30 is actually an extraordinary performance. Honestly, as far as checks go, in time, you may draw attention from distant patrons or even extraplanar beings. So, yeah, you bumped into a 30 means the party god does smile upon this.
Sweet, and I helped.
Matilda is on the back of Letty with you, able to lean in to make that peel out burnout as you go. You have those halflings before laughing and cheering as you whipped out a motorcycle out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. You would catch just the brief moment of one of those golden archons in their kind of full body gold suits with gear patterns on them as they float overhead for just a second as you summon something on the boat. But with a 30 from the party music and with a 20 on your ride, like they quickly disappear as they realize this is all just fun.
I think after, like, I would quickly, like, look to DJ Button Mash and give him, like, a finger gun, like, I got you.
All right, yeah. He'd finger gun back, flipping all 8 hats to the front.
Okay, now this party's starting, right?
Music is blasting as people come to the dance floor.
As people are coming to the dance floor, I think I'm trying to, like, egg on people to, like, you know, get more drinks, maybe get, like, bottles sprayed, like, start getting, like, champagne spraying all over everybody, get everybody really just hype distracted with what's going on.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, you can see with the music going, with everything else happening, people are in. This is what they came here for, right? Like, you guys are flying over the ocean right now. You can look down. You can see, like, the, deep sea kind of krakens that move along the surface, the dragon turtles. You can see some of the glowfish, like the house-sized jellyfish that kind of give off lights that are fairly harmless. Mm-hmm. You got arrowhawks and other kind of flying creatures nearby as the black smoke plumes out of the back of the dreadnought. But people up here are partying.
Okay, now since people are partying and everything's going good, DJ Button Mash is occupied, and people are getting more occupied. I think I'm going to, like, party me and Matilda's way towards, like, the line and try to, like, you know, maybe, like, make casual conversation, like, high five towards, like, the front of the line to see what's going on.
Okay, yeah, for the majority of what's happening now with that party festive mode going on, there's a lot more of the shadows that are waiting in line. But, mm-hmm. Well-timed, you find yourself able to only... There's only a few actual people in line that are potentially ahead of you for the door. Riding that high from that, you can give me a bluff or diplomacy if you're going to try to, like, schmooze slash cut your way in.
Yeah, I think a bluff, that's kind of what I was trying to, like, schmooze my way, like, to cut in.
Okay.
Okay, let's see this bluff roll. God damn it, 16.
I mean, I'll give it to you. It'd be the first time on Big Campaign, but if you want to do a Death Elixir shot.
Don't tempt me with a good time, Jeff. I will do a Death Elixir shot right now.
All right.
Okay. Let me, give me one quick second.
Sure.
For the people who don't know, the Death Elixir is a special thing I do on, we do on our podcast, that if someone is rolling bad and they want to attempt a reroll, we have this horrible concoction called the Death Elixir. It is a combination of 3 different liquors, and it's the worst friggin' thing that you can drink. It's not fun, and you have to wait 60 seconds after you take the shots to roll, drink something, whatever. Okay? If you want to give it a look, we also have a YouTube video of how we made it. Or if you just listen to the podcast, listen to all the players doing this religiously. All right, Jeff, you get. Can you give me a countdown?
All right, 3, 2, 1. Take your shot.
Oh God, it's still bad. Oh, it's never not bad. If you want, you can count the 60 seconds and let me know when it's right. When it's time for me to. When it's time for me to growl, Jesus Christ, this is terrible. So I'm generally the dungeon master, so I don't have to do this as much. And I know that my players are going to listen to this and be so freaking happy that I'm doing this shot, because they always look at me with disdain because they act like I'm the ones making them do this god awful thing. God, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away.
You have 20 seconds left.
Oh my God, Jeff, you have to try this at some point. We have to like get together for you to actually physically try this, because you're not going to like it. Like I said, check out YouTube, check out some of our videos or our podcasts where we take it. You can even check a couple of people that we met at Gen Con last year, like AARPG took it.
Now take a drink.
Oh, thank God. And you know what's even like the worst part is it still stays in your mouth even after like you take that chaser or anything like that. So it still lingers. It still freaking lingers.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right. Well, Death Elixir shot was taken. What was I doing? Bluff. That's what I was doing. Okay. Are you ready for my roll?
Yes, go for it.
Let's go. 25, baby.
Oh, hell yeah. All righty. Then, yeah, with a 25, people step out of line to give you a high five. Handshake. They say, that's awesome. How did you get a bike on the fucking boat? Matilda's taking this opportunity to kind of basically slide into a spot behind them. So, like, once they step out of line, she just kind of takes theirs to kind of back you up on this.
Cool. And then, like, I would, like, just casually then slide next to Matilda. We're in line afterwards. And then I would give her, like, a look, like, a thanks for thanks for backing me up on it. Because, like, she got the idea of what I was trying to do.
She'll give you the smile and nod. And cheers for the drinks.
And I would look at her. I'm like, you ready to meet some gods?
You know, I've never met them before. This is a hell of a gamble for a first date, Desmond.
Well, the good thing about that sentence is that you admitted it's a date.
And she will get that like, fuck.
Desmond would just kind of like chuckle.
Yeah, the Archon standing in front of both of you, silent and stoic, would step aside and open the door. So as you both walk through, you'll begin to feel weightless at first, before your feet find purchase in what feels like an open-air mall, but it's also homes. Off to the right, you can see a Mobius strip of water flowing while floating above a diamond carved into the shape of a birdbath. Over to the left, a lush forest surrounds a tent. A boiling waterfall splashes down into a series of hot springs that seems to keep cascading down beyond your sight. Off in front, a single void screen with a T-Box video game console and two chairs sit in kind of a half gym that only has a single light coming down on the chairs, but there's no ceiling to the gym. You can see a small sun that gives off heat in the distance that kind of floats around this moon. Think like a little bit larger, like kind of King Kai's planet.
Oh, okay.
In the distance, you see a brilliant white meteor streaking towards a plane that looks almost teardrop shaped. And there's a spot where you can see that the stars seem to be blocked out in a certain section, because you notice the absence of light there that you recognize as the Scorn Moon. But you guys are almost close enough that you can see the lights of cities that are scattered across its dark surface. Immediately, the four gods you can see that are here, you see Azdan lounging in the hot springs, their skull face, though they don't have a lower jaw, before it descends into a large black robe that covers them from head all the way down. Though whenever you see inside of their robe, it appears to be just nebulas, galaxies, an eternal space that goes on forever. Other Scythe casually laying down next to the hot springs, in the pool that Azdan is relaxing in. You can see a halfling with a robotic arm and a mohawk, as well as an albino lizard folk. Over to the right, you see Ennanoth, the god of kind of growth, rebirth, about 25 feet tall, kind of a large potato-looking man with ferns, like fern leaves as eyebrows that seem to stretch out about 10 feet off to the side of the head. You'll see the Dark Mage as well. This is an older god, one that not like people have forgotten about, but only like really dedicated scholars would pray to him. Tall, bald dude with a giant braided wizard hat, with a feather of some sort of mystical creature, maybe a phoenix or a Quetzalcoatl. But a crow sits on the staff that he carries with him, as they're both kind of laughing at a joke they're sharing between each other. Though once you arrive, the Dark Mage will snap their fingers, And they'll be wearing kind of like a elegant kind of like John Wick suit. Blacks, blues, grays, hint of a purple accent. They have glasses on. Silver eyes to peek behind it, but their crow sits on their staff still. And over on a couch, kind of rolling off of it, dark tussled hair, fully black eyes, a little overweight, probably about 5'8", 5'9", you see Julian Crow wearing kind of a trench coat. Boots that come up to about mid-shin. It looks like he's looking around for his sunglasses or peekers or something before he'll... Greetings and welcome to the Zellanulus.
This is Julian Crow, right?
Yeah.
I would put my hand out as like for a handshake and be like, Desmond Crow, I've been following you since I was a kid. And all I gotta say is that everything you are, I get.
Julian will pause for a moment. Pulls a pipe up to his mouth. We'll take a long pull and kind of give out a small cloud. And, oh, shit. Fuck yeah. You're not grandkid. You're like, you're one of my grand, like, I'm like your grand uncle, like multiple uncles. Welcome to the party mood. Any drug, any drink, we got it. Best view in town, too. I got Synth Coke, Memory Moss, Soy Sauce, Skitter, Cosmic. Do you guys need a 40 or something?
I think Desmond would look back and like see how he puts out the pipe, and then I'd put out my hollow cigar. Like, hell yeah, you get it. And I would take a puff of my hollow cigar. And I guess I would look to Matilda when he says like all those things to see if there's anything she's interested in. Just, I guess I'm just trying to get a vibe of like what she's feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and give me a sense motive.
Okay, sense motive. Let's see, 24.
All right, sick. You instantly get the vibe from Matilda that she's a little freaking out right now. Asdan's here.
Yeah.
The god she used to worship that she lost. And he's just hanging out, right? She'll step closer to you to kind of block Asdan's view of her. Mm-hmm. And she'll say, do you have, I'll take something strong. A drink. No skitter or anything else for me. Julian will, within the, folds of his kind of like half... long coat, trench coat. He'll pull out a nice bottle of whiskey, a nice bottle of gin, a bottle of vodka, pull out some mixers, and I mean, it is a god's realm, so he's able to kind of like sprinkle his hand a bit as ice cubes fill in the cup and starts to make a mixed drink for you right there, and we'll hand it over. Your shadow did not come with you.
Okay.
Julian will... And what about you, my man?
He's just like, you know what, I wonder if I can whisper to him for a second. But like, I would first say that I want a drink, and then I would try to whisper to him. What was that? I'm trying to remember the drug that... Was it Shatter?
Feedback.
That's what it was. Feedback. Yeah. Okay. So I would first ask for like a drink, and then like I would whisper like, I don't know. Do you guys have like a little bit like feedback for like later? You know, as like I would like suggest like, you know, when I need to perform better tonight.
Yeah. You want feedback? Yeah, I got you. I got you. Not a problem. He'll kind of like reach between the couch cushions. Kind of pull them aside a bit before pulling out a small baggie, and we'll sleight of hand it to you. At some point, you are holding the drink that he made for you.
Uh-huh.
But you can also feel in your pocket the weight of the drug.
Cool. Okay. And then I would look to Matilda, and because I would see how rattled is the best way to describe how she's feeling right now. And then I would look to Julian and like give him a head nod, and I'd say thank you, and I would raise my glass, and I would get like Matilda... Me and Matilda would walk off for a second so I can talk to her privately.
Yeah, she would slam her drink really quick, hold out for Julian to make another one, and then follow you over.
Okay, after she makes her drink, I would look to her, and then I would look to Asdan. And Asdan was also the god that like my family followed, right? In like the like with like the party stuff that we did and everything like that. That's like the idols. Yeah, right? So I should have like a familiarity with Asdan growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would look to her, and I would say, hey, I get it. It's something that you've been following, I'm going to assume, most of your life. But, you know, I think, like, as I would, like, gesture to Julian Crow, you know, it's one of those things where you're not going to know unless you find out or ask. I'm sure you got questions.
Yeah, just she gets kind of that anger look that turns into determination of, you're entirely right, Desmond. I guess this is my one chance to ask, right?
Hey, I'm here. We're here to party, but I mean, we're here to make sure that we do something that we'll never forget. And this is going to be your best opportunity to really figure out why things have happened the way that they happen. And I'm all for it. I'm here.
Yeah, she'll look back towards what? There's Asdan in the hot tub, and Anoth kind of rolling in their own grass. Occasionally they'll touch like a butterfly or worm and turn them either the size of like a bus, or touch kind of like a horse and turn it into the size like a mouse to kind of play around with before it disperses it back into leaves. And the Dark Mage just kind of watching the brilliant white meteor head towards the teardrop plane. But Matilda takes a look at all this and goes, let's go hang out with Julian.
Okay. I will follow her like lead at the moment, thinking that she has an idea, like a plan ahead with how she wants to approach this.
As she approaches Julian, she'll call out to him and, so how does one become a party god? And Julian will, you know, stand up, do a bow, kind of putting down a joint while picking up a cigarette. Kind of like, you know, you have to be in the right place at the right time. I have many titles. Party God's probably the least favorite of them. I prefer the patron of parties. Or maybe the party rocket, the endless reveler, or, and he'll look at Desmond, the favorite son.
I think, like, Desmond would, like, wave his glass, like, happy about that one. Because that's probably, like, how he, like, represents his title to him as.
Thing is, and Julian will kind of pause for a moment and, Matilda, and he'll puff away the cigarette for a bit. I used to be like you on the plains before I fought my first god, before I drank from divinity, before I found myself blessed with the ability to bring revelry to more than just myself and my friends. Gods are simply jobs you just don't have yet. If you can steal a title, you could be one too. I just happen to like to focus, though, on the fun part of being a god. No hangovers. And she'll chuckle at that and, all right, then how do you get along with these other gods? What connection? Why are you four here? And he'll, because a bunch of the other gods kind of wussed out. They're all afraid of that thing. And he'll motion to the white meteor. She'll, well, what is it? And he'll, don't want to spoil anything, but it's kind of why Azdan's here. That thing is, there are things that were made to kill gods that weren't made by gods. But sometimes they get used against mortals, and it's never a good sight. That thing there, that white meteor, they call that Tonker, the planar cleanser. And it's on the way to, well, your plane. It looks like right now it's probably going to be bad. At least one city, though, looks like they might have their shit together. I've been trying to tell a dude down there what to do, but I can only help him when he gets high enough to chat with, you know? But people never seem to remember when I try and hook him up with great ideas. Problem with being a party god.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she'll look over at you, Desmond, like, what the fuck? And you can see Azdan putting a few cucumber slices over his eyes while he leans back in the hot springs.
I guess I would also look to Matilda, like, did this dude just talk about how our plane's going to get wiped from existence?
Julian sets down the water bong and, not wiped from existence, man. The Tonker will come and convert a certain amount of the population to its servants. You guys don't have any, like, gold rashes on you or anything, do you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, Matilda will, like, no. Say, all right, good, good. That means you haven't been chosen already. But, I mean, don't worry. If you were, I could give you the family hookup and we can get rid of that. But, yeah, Tonker comes to help reset planes.
Like this thing's Thanos to just snap and just get rid of the things.
Converts people into celestial servants.
That's sick.
I mean, hey, you're my grandnephew. We're just gonna call you grandnephew.
Sounds good. Grand uncle, great grand uncle, god uncle.
Yeah, kind of a gunkle.
Gunkle.
Yeah, he'll lean back and let out the rest of the cloud from when you guys first showed up, as this like huge plume comes out, and he's like, yeah, I could be a gunkle. You guys are welcome to hang out here. You don't have to go back. They can't make you. I mean, I can't go with you. I'll tell you a little sad part about being a god. You can't hook your followers up if you're on the same plane. So, like, right now, Desmond, any spells that you use that come from Julian, like, you can't tap into your own magic.
It's a good thing I got this goddamn feedback if I need something. Okay, that's good to know. I think I would look to Matilda to see, like, I see where you're going with this, talking to Julian, but, like, I know that, like, you're kind of, like, dodging what you really want to do.
She looks at you a little frustrated and kind of like, yes, no, I know. All right.
I think afterwards I would let her know, like, look, I got you. I got your back. If anything starts going awry, I'll step in. How about that?
Okay. And as you guys start to head away from Julian to walk over towards Azdan's section, Julian will kind of yell out to you, hey, man, are you more of a hat guy or, like... I was seeing if you're more of a hat guy or a shirt guy, but I want to make sure you go back with at least a little bit of swag.
I think Desmond would turn around And then, like, he would just, like, tattoo his head just in case, like, in confirmation, like, yeah, go ahead, give me a hat, because of the fact that, you know, I'm never going to wear a shirt because I have my armor. So yeah.
Julian does the, zip across the mouth, kind of like, yeah, okay, sorry. but yeah, you guys will walk across, slowly shifting from that gym floor where Julian controlled the terrain that you're walking on, as you'll step across nothingness for a moment before you land on these hot springs, these chronal hot springs.
Okay.
Azdan has the cucumbers over his eyes as he's leaning back, relaxing. The albino lizard folk will kind of be frustrated as you see kind of a form appear and lift with one of the silver trays with like food underneath the silver dome, mm-hmm. that platter, right? And they'll lift it up and there's like this weird five-armed frog creature with three eyes before you'd hear the lizard folk kind of like, I don't want to be mean. I thought I was ordering a salad. And the form will look at him for a moment and you said slad. He's like, sorry, can I send that back? I don't know how to eat that. And you'll see that sigh as the form will disappear. From the halfling, a shadow will creep across from it, sliding across these hot springs and into Julian's territory before it comes back with multiple drinks for everyone in the hot springs. As Dan enjoys what looks to be like a large Mai Tai with three umbrellas sticking out of it. he doesn't have a lower jaw, so you're not quite sure he's drinking it, but the straw does fill as he puts part of the cup into the nebulous void of the inside of his coat and starts to disappear a bit.
Hey, I'm not going to question God anatomy. Real quick, just so you're aware, like I'm going to let like Matilda do her thing, but what I'm waiting is that if like something like bad starts to happen, I want to take this feedback and like buff my charisma to try to like talk the situation down if need be. And then the way feedback works is that after it gets buffed, when it wears off, then it deducts the charisma as well, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. So just so you're aware, that is like Desmond's intentions. If he needs to, he's going to take the feedback to bump his charisma up to talk better.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But yeah, as Matilda approaches, the halfling and lizard folk will kind of get a serious look before you'd see like the halfling kind of kick Azdan's leg in the water. And kind of cough that poor Azdan will. Oh man, let's see if I can still do his voice. Oh, that's quite rude. Quite rude, Felix. And Azdan will. Hi. Greetings.
I gotta tell you, I was not expecting that voice for some a god that can like represent death.
hello, Tilly. Long time since I've heard from you. Yeah. And she'll look over at you. She looks at Julian. She looks at the drink in her hand and kind of. Why did you do this? And as it'll sit up, the cucumbers will fall into the water. And you'll see as they do, they instantly dehydrate, desiccate, and turn to dust.
Cool.
And as it'll, I didn't do anything. My dear, your name's still in the big book. And he'll point towards a book next to his scythe. You have a curse? Like you have a blood curse on you? One that I can't remove. It's not something I've done. It's something that happened to you. She seems to kind of get the hang a little bit of this god domain. Is like she puts her hand out to let go of the drink, and there's a table there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was removed from the church. I can't use magic, and I lost that. And he'll. I'm sorry. The church is really strict about those who try to escape death. Try to get out of the book, right? And what happened with you and your brother? You tried to make an undead in my name. That's not okay. But you find someone to remove the curse, then we can talk again. That'd be great. And she'll, what if I don't think of it as a curse anymore? And as Dendel, I guess that's up to you. She looks annoyed more than anything, like she was hoping for more.
Mm-hmm.
She'll look at you before looking back at Azdan and saying, so you're just going to watch everybody die here? And he'll, it's not my job. To keep people alive. It's my job to take down names. And yeah, you can see she's starting to get pretty upset. Like, she's trying to find something.
When you say that she's trying to find something, would I, like, have an idea of, like, is she trying to find, like what is the purpose of Azdan?
Yeah, or a little bit of, like, she thought more of meeting her god. Mm-hmm. Like, there's kind of that, how do you put it?
Never meet your idols?
Yeah, it's kind of like she's been trying to get back into the Church of Azdan to try to get back her magic. And this is kind of like that weird moment where you realize you don't need it or want it anymore.
Right. I think Desmond would step in at this point. I don't think he needs to take the feedback at the moment to try to calm anything down, because it just seems like Matilda is the upset. I think Desmond would step in at this point and be like, you know, guys always got their ways of doing things, but in the end, as I would look to Matilda, you're doing what you want. You know, you don't need this guy to tell you how to live your life. And frankly, it doesn't seem like he really cares that much.
Yeah, go ahead and toss me. Go and toss me that diplomacy then.
Okay. We have a 4. Let's see. 21. Okay, that's better than I thought it'd be.
Matilda will take that at kind of what it is. And yeah, that's fair.
And you know, like, and I would like look at her like eye contact. Like, look, think about it. Look at everything that you've done. Okay. You can say it was in the name of him, but really, you've been doing this all yourself, girl. You got this. You don't need him. You never needed him.
She was looking back into your eyes and looking at you, and yeah, I think I'm doing just fine. Asdan had kind of look around to the other two in the hot springs with him, and rude. What did I do? Kind of that confused look on it, and basically a skeletal face that has no emotion.
Right.
Before Matilda would say, fuck this guy.
And then I would look to Matilda, and I would like raise my eyebrow, like, you want to get out of here?
She'd look over at the other two gods, and yeah, but let's go talk to that potato guy for a second.
And Desmond's like, cool, definitely. And as we're walking away, I think Desmond would look to Asdan and be like, hey, no disrespect, but like my family has followed you and you're kind of boring. And I would just walk away afterwards.
Yeah. Asdan would, sink a little bit into the hot springs and blow some bubbles as you guys walk away. As you approach Ennanoth, the large potato god, as it's rolling around in its kind of grassy fields that look like the default wallpaper to a Windows computer. Ennanoth just lets out a song. It doesn't appear like it can actually talk, but you kind of understand what it means. It doesn't use words so much as like it speaks in tumbling rocks, bird whistles, like river sounds and sounds of nature.
Okay.
But it will look at both of you with like large kind of charcoal eyes underneath its fern eyebrows and let out kind of a happy a song of victory for you for a moment.
I think Desmond would like look at like this potato god and then look to Matilda just like, yeah, you know what? I would say this is a win. You know, we came here. We've shown everybody what we're made of. We've even shown some of the gods what we're made of. I'd say like this is pretty successful so far, no?
This is a pretty good date, even though we had to run into my ex.
And Desmond would laugh at that. He's just like, yeah, but that means you got closure.
True enough. Ennanoth would create really quickly for you two before you start to head out. Would give you a pineapple, roughly the size of your chest.
Okay.
Like two-handed, like carrying a corgi.
Okay.
And then for Matilda, create an owl that's about the size of her hand.
Interesting.
But then Ennanoth will flop back into the grass and start making grass angels.
Does this mean anything to us?
She's going to roll a knowledge religion check. And she's like, I do not get this. What? She tries to whistle back a thank you noise with her perform skill. You now realize Matilda cannot whistle.
I think Desmond would like chuckle and then kind of tease her about it.
But yeah, as you turn to walk away from Ennanoth, Julian, as he approaches you, he's got two hats in his hands. He's like, well, I was thinking about it, you know, I saw what you did on the boat, and I kind of looked into it. You know, sorry for prying, but thought I'd kind of double check. And he'll whisper to you, and I saw you before getting yourself pumped up. Demundo, I'm sorry about your dad stuff. Us crows have never been good with family. I'll be honest, back in my day, I used to wear wigs to make sure they couldn't steal my hair so they could watch me. But nowadays, though that's a little harder for you to get around, right? Because we have the void glass secret. Well, shit. Sorry. You don't have the void glass secret. That's usually given to the oldest kid of each generation who is going to inherit the position.
Can I have the void glass secret?
I can't. Like, it's not... It's supposed to be the oldest kid of each generation. Like, I couldn't give that because whoever the oldest kid now has it. Like, when I started the company, I made a deal with Manias, the Levant of Negative Energy. It's where we get our void glass from. Any crow that has the ritual, you can see through any void glass screen.
Okay.
So that means like every TV, every cell phone, like a lot of the big companies use void glass to do like the windows inside their buildings because they could run them as screens as well.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you know, and go ahead and give me a sense motive with this.
I was going to ask, who is the oldest crow at the moment then? Because the older ones died, didn't they?
Yeah.
21.
So 21, this kind of starts to hit different, right? Like you just started to say it. The other crows have died. And so now it kind of starts click to you a little bit.
Makes me think that the one that's haunting us is us.
You're thinking about it and you're like, well, Fillion was, she was your dad's first natural born kid, but supposedly died of natural causes. Mm-hmm. Seven Delam was killed in a dueling accident. He was the second oldest. Bianca, she was in Pauldron when she died in a boating accident. Toger Crow got killed in that car accident. And that leaves right now the oldest kid, the one before you, is Celista Crow. You know, she and her husband Dave work for a shipping company out of Selene.
And do I know Celista to be a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Motivated character of trying to gain success and power?
Yeah, she left Farthen with the intention of trying to make her own. She works for Selene Global, which is a very large company that handles shipping all around the world. And something like being able to have access to everyone, to be able to see through everyone's screens.
Yeah.
Would put her basically as the, not only shipping wise, but would give a fair amount of control as an information broker, but as well as no competition could ever get past her because she can basically see everything they do while they do it.
Hmm. And then it would be me and then my other two siblings.
Yeah. So then there's you. And then there's Quillain, which she still lives in Farthen. Same with Rogelio.
Right. And with me knowing that like my father has like disowned me as a crow, would I not count in part of that line anymore?
He can disown you. That's fine.
But like the deal that Julian made is different.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. I think Desmond would have like a solemn look for a second and then like a quizzical look and then be like, oh shit. And he would just say that like out loud.
Julian is taking a large hit of memory moss off a pipe and drops it as you go, shit, drops it. He's like, oh, what? What's happening?
I think my sister's been killing us.
What? Matilda and Julian. And, oh shit.
And I think Desmond would look to Matilda just like, see, we both got family drama. We have so much in common.
Yeah, I don't see how she wouldn't honestly just start laughing. Like, just full, like, belly in half laughing. And she'll, what, wipe away the laugh tears from her eyes. She'll, like, all right. And reach over and take part of Julian's joint. Mm-hmm. And take a small hit from it. And kind of like, well, I guess we got to figure out what to do with your sister.
Yeah, and I guess we got to figure out what to do with your brother. He seems to be getting in a lot of trouble. And then Desmond will like stick his like arm out for her to like wrap so we can start walking.
Yeah, right before you guys leave, Julian will, oh shit, your hat here. And it says right across the front and top of it, big C, little O, big P. And he's like, I saw what you did. I want you to be the crow champion, the paladin of the endless reveler. It doesn't come with any perks, but I mean, every god gets to have a champion. And he'll thumb over at Azdan and the two sitting in the springs. He's like, he's got his champion and Scion. I don't even have one.
You see, Desmond would like have a big ass grin on his face. He just like, this hat, the title's perk enough, baby. And he would like grab the hat and just proudly on top of himself, on his head.
Julian would, hell yeah.
And then he'd probably put his hand out for a fist bump.
He would definitely would give you a fist bump. Go back, what? Fist bump, do the hand wave back.
Yeah, right.
Watch out while you're down there. And if they got gold on their skin, it's not going to be good.
I would look to him like, if I got gold on the skin, I'm giving you a call. You told me you'd give me the family hookup.
Oh, yeah, shit. And he pulls out basically like a, at this point, the HCOM that he pulls out would be equivalent to somebody whipped out like a Nokia brick. And yeah, it might be hard to reach me, but you know, boop, boop. He'll send you over his number. Can't promise I'll answer. Out. I'm a busy man.
I could find you at a party.
Hold on. Wait, let me do this proper. He goes over and he takes out from a safe that seems to be behind the couch. Mm-hmm. This like glowing blue liquid as he pops the top on some cosmic and slams it. His eyes begin to sparkle with blue electricity as he lifts up into the air, his long black jacket spreading out into what looks like shards of black void glass, showing moments of time across of your life at various parts that you've passed in front of a TV screen or you've passed in front of a cell phone kind of thing. giving him almost like a large raven wing, kind of the crow wing look, as he will, you know, deep voice, "Your tenants is the Paladin of the Endless Reveler. Be cool. Do not party with malice. And grip it and rip it.
Grip it and rip it, baby. That's Desmond's new slogan.
And he will sit back down on the couch all of a sudden and go like, "Whoa, fuck, man. Cosmic's a trip.
You got a little bit extra of that?"
"Yeah, just don't give it any mortals. He'll throw you one vial."
Mortals, right? And that includes me?
I mean, as a paladin, your divine health should protect you.
Sweet. Hell yeah. And, like, I guess I would, like, look to Matilda, like, "Look, I get it, but, like, it's literally, I was told by my god, as I am his champion, that I should do this drug, okay? It makes it okay."
"Yeah, sure, look, Ian. I'm not judging."
Awesome. So, I think I would, like, tip my drink one more time to Julian, and then I would have, like, me and Matilda would walk out.
Perfect. And you head back through the door. There's the guy who's just turning to the Archon, like, "Hey, they just cut in line!" Before it seems, though, you guys have just come back so suddenly, that he'll, "Fine, I guess it didn't have to wait long." but you can see, like, the dance floor, people are crashed. DJ Buttonmash is probably going for the last several hours. You will return to the Dreadnought as Matilda will lock her arm with yours. And let's see here. Do we go for the kiss? It's a first date.
Yeah, but I also, it's a god date. It's like 10 dates combined.
She'd lock her arm with yours as we get the camera pan out. And she will lean into the kiss. Sun is starting to set. The ship's flying across the waters, heading north towards Morningthorn, Farthen, and other places as the screen fades to black.
Sick. Ha-ha, I got it. That was awesome, Jeff.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, no, thanks for playing, man. Thanks for listening. Like, rate, review, subscribe. You know the stuff. We really appreciate all the listens, and it's been very fun as there have been a lot more listeners joining in, seeing all the fun spots in the world where everyone's coming from. The music you heard today from Nihilord was Monolithic, Walks of Life, Descent, and Saved by a Simple Little Thing. You also heard Big City Dreams by Moses Harris Jr., Maxim Malko with corporate background music for business presentations, and the Clash of Crits theme song by Chinovis. Take care of yourselves out there, and I hope you have a good day. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.